Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and I'm glad to bring you our latest update on the estate planning bill. Many of you are aware by now that last evening the House of Representatives passed the bill with the $5 million exemption. The major media outlets are reporting that this bill will be signed by President Obama sometime this afternoon. Let's talk a little bit about what's in the bill and then what we should be focused on in the next 10 days in 2010 and what we can do in early 2011. At the end of this, I'll also touch briefly on the carryover basis. First of all, the most important income tax part of the bill is that tax rates will stay the same. So tax rates will stay the same, which will create a two-year renaissance in the Roth IRA. On the estate tax side, for 2010, there will be an estate tax. However, you will have an election where you can elect out of paying the estate tax in 2010. So that's an election out of the estate tax that you have to affirmatively make. Now, the exemptions. For 2011 and 12, the exemptions for estate tax, gift tax, and generation skipping transfer tax are $5 million a person or $10 million a married couple. This is a change in that these are all unified now. What that means is January 1st, 2011, I can put $5 million into a dynasty trust for my children, and my wife could do the same, which creates tremendous planning opportunities. Now, but this bill, under the bill, these exemptions will only last for 2 years. And at the end of the 2 years, Congress has to regroup and figure out what's going to happen next. There are many practitioners that are already worried about that in 2013, even though the estate tax exemption will likely stay at $5 million, they may decouple the gift and the estate tax exemption. So this may create a window of opportunity for wealthy families to use their gift tax exemption and GST exemption during this two-year window of opportunity. Now, if we look at what will likely happen is clients will be creating dynasty trusts, spousal access trusts. There'll be a lot of planning we see in the first 6 months of 2010. So I think in the short run, this will be a very big shot in the arm to the estate planning community. Now, in 2010, in the next few days, what can we do? In 2010, there are still many things we can do for clients. Some of this is associated with just how the 2010 law was drafted. Now, what we're allowed to do is wealthy clients, affluent clients, can gift outright to grandchildren and younger generations without the generation skipping transfer tax being imposed. For example, you represent a wealthy family. If they want to move $1 million outright to their adult grandchildren or minor grandchildren, they can do that. Most of these transfers are being made through limited partnerships or LLCs, but these transfers are occurring. When these happen, even though they may well be subject to gift tax at 35%, they're not subject to the generation skipping transfer tax. And they will not, and you may have to elect out of automatic allocation of the generation skipping transfer tax exemption, but you are not going to have to burn up any of your exemption when you make these gifts. So that's one thing to think about. Now, if you are going to, and I'm changing gears a little bit, the other thing that we should look at is if you have trusts that are non-exempt. In other words, I created a dynasty trust. It was severed into an exempt and non-exempt trust. Maybe we make distributions for the non-exempt trust now why there's no generation skipping transfer tax. Thirdly, if we desire to incur a 35% gift tax this year, we should strongly look at whether we can do that with low basis property, because under 1015 of the code, remember, you're allowed to add some of the gift tax you paid into the basis of the property. Also, keep in mind, it's a small thing, but annual exclusion gifts should be made this December for more affluent families, and again in January. Now, again, in 2010, we can make direct skips to grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and not incur the generation skipping transfer tax. We believe you can also make transfers in trust, and you will be able to allocate GST exemption to the trust. The committee reports seem to indicate that you can allocate GST exemption in 2010. So let's say I made a $5 million transfer to a dynasty trust today. I would be able to allocate $5 million of GST exemption to that trust. So if you had a client that did that, they'd be able to allocate their GST exemption That would be very powerful, okay? Doing it between now and January is a great question. I think if you have low basis property and you can add in the basis, add to the basis the gift tax you paid, it may be a very smart idea. If you wait to 2011 to do this planning, the first $4 million of gifts will be gift tax free, and those gifts should be focused on high basis property. Okay, in 2010, we gift lower basis property, the gift tax will be paid, and the three-year rule on the gift tax runs from the day I make the gift, not the day I pay the gift tax. Now, you're wondering if the rate is going to stay at 35%, should you rush to make gifts this year? Only if you want to take advantage of the tax-exclusive nature of the gift tax. We still have clients that are making taxable gifts in the next 2 weeks because they want to get that gift tax out of their estate. If we wait to next year, the first $4 million of the gifts will be absorbing unified credit, and it may be more advantageous to make them immediately. Okay, now so that's kind of some of the planning that we can think about right now. The other thing we need to be cognizant of is what is going to happen in 2010. Now, I mentioned it earlier, but in 2010, there is going to be an estate tax that will be incurred on estates in excess of $5 million, okay? So, you know, you represent someone, for example, I have one client that died. Her net worth was about $8 or $9 million. In all likelihood, we are going to push as much of that property downstream as possible, not let it pass to her husband, and we will elect out of paying the estate tax. However, that means she has very, very high basis property. If she had very low basis property, that might not be the thing to do. And this is where you need to run the math, okay? This is where you're going to need to run the math. We'll talk about more in that in a second. If you elect not to pay the estate tax, you are going to have carryover basis subject to the carryover basis rules we've been talking about for over a year. Basically, a $1.3 million increase for single individuals and an additional $3 million increase for married individuals if the property passes to your spouse. So those are things that we need to be just very cognizant about and what planning we're going to do. Generally, if the gross estate is under $5 million, you are going to elect into the estate tax. You elect into the estate tax because you want that step up in basis. If you agree to pay the estate tax, your basis increase is going to be governed under the old rules under Section 1014 of the code, not the new rules under Section 1022 of the code. If you're between, believe it or not, $5 and $30 million, you actually need to crunch the numbers. Because if you have a single person with low enough basis, they might be better in some instances to incur an estate tax rather than the income tax. I think those cases are rare, but they're out there and you need to test for them. For example, let's say you represented someone that had a building that was fully depreciated. And when they sold it, they would have depreciation recapture at 25%. The committee reports expressly state that if you have the carryover basis regime, you are going to have to recapture that when you sell it at the 25% rate. Now what we're doing is we're comparing a 25% income tax rate plus the state rate, let's call it 30%, to a 35% estate tax rate. So we have 30% income tax, 35% estate tax, and we have to see how do these algebraically compare. Now the formula, which we're going to write more on, and I'll do another podcast on this, but the formula is going to have to take into account many things, especially if you're dealing with a second marriage. Now, clearly anyone over 25 or 30 million would in all likelihood elect out of the estate tax. I think it would be rare that you'd want to have the estate tax apply in those instances. So the law, though, basically says we're going to have 9 months to figure this out. So we do have some time to figure this out, and we're going to work very hard to bring you all the insight and analysis we can on those issues. To recap, in the next 10 days, think about looking for clients that have non-exempt trusts and making distributions from those trusts. Think about clients that have property in trust for their grandchildren and whether they should put more property into the trust. Focus on annual exclusion gifts so we don't let that slide by. If you're going to incur a gift tax, try to incur it with low basis property, not high basis property. If you're creating dynasty trusts, remember if you do them this year, you'll incur a gift tax and be able to increase the basis with that gift tax. If you do it next year, you'll mostly be using Unified Credit. And above all, remember that now the Unified Credit, the GST exemption, and the gift tax Unified Credit are all unified. Okay, so they're unified, and that creates an interesting opportunity for many of us. So I think there's a lot here for us. The next 10 days will be very interesting, and we will come out with several more podcasts dealing with the new mathematics of estate planning. I've already put the slides together, and we'll put that into a podcast. And we're also going to come out with a more detailed podcast on Section 1022 and the election into Section 1022, the election out of estate tax. And finally, remember that with income tax rate staying the same, Roth conversions will continue to be very viable for the next 2 years. On behalf of Weinberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler, and thank you for joining us.